Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 this evening. Matthew chapter 4. We have come to the last of our Afterword series. Started this way back in late February, and we've gone through several of these in the Scriptures. And tonight we've come to the last of these, and we've entitled this, The Afterword of Testing. The Afterword of Testing. I want to read the first 11 verses as we consider the temptation of Jesus Christ, and we're going to hone in on verse 2 and hopefully share some thoughts with you concerning this last afterword. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, who led him up to this great trial? The Holy Spirit did. The third person of the Trinity was with the Lord as he went to his great trial of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now notice, please, where the temptation comes. It doesn't come during the 40 days of fasting. It comes when? Afterward. Christ is very, very hungry here after these many days. And so the devil comes to him and offers him bread. If these stones, if you could command them, you could make them into bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You know, the devil was right. Angels could have come at any moment, right? And they did come, and they ministered unto him. But there were some important things that the Lord communicated to Satan during this time of temptation, after 40 days of not eating, or just barely eating. Ever how the fasting was carried out at that particular time, there's a lot of debate on whether they did eat some during certain hours of the day, but it was very, very limited. And we find here that the Lord responds each time using Scripture. Using Scripture. Are you prepared in the afterword of a great, great trial to have a working knowledge of the Word of God to combat Satan? You know, it's one thing to know about the Bible. It's another thing to have a working knowledge of the Bible. So many people think they know the Bible, but oftentimes the Bible is misquoted. Oftentimes the Bible is twisted out of context. The Bible is not effective when it's used improperly, just like any tool is not effective that's not used properly. I can try to use a pair of pliers and make it into a hammer, but it's not going to work effectively because it's the wrong tool for that particular job. And we need to understand that the Word of God has to be used properly and in the right situation to accomplish the purposes that it has. And so we want to look tonight at the afterword of testing. Father, bless Your Word. Help us to have ears to hear. And I pray, Lord, that we would be more than just Christians in name only. Lord, help us to understand that to be like Christ means to be filled with the Word. For Jesus Christ is the Word. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to know Thy Word in such a way that we find it as our resource, our ready resource, that we're able to combat Satan and be able to go against him in battle and come out the victor as our Lord did. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is said that the feeling of hunger goes away after 3 or 4 days. You don't eat. Of course, in the first two or three days, you've got a lot of hunger pains, You just stand. And after about 4 days, the body just begins to absorb protein from the fat cells located in our body. And the body gets some measure of satisfaction. And you don't feel the hunger pains as you did before. But hunger returns with a renewed force after about a month. There is a voracious appetite. And we're told here that the Lord had fasted for 40 days. No doubt he had lost weight during that time. I don't think many times we really think about what he went through, why he did it to start with. Why did he fast for 40 days? And then what he went through with the temptation and the trial of Satan against him, his body would have been racked with hunger at this particular time. So our Lord on this basis endures this onslaught of attacks by Satan. I know that you and I go through attacks that come. I have found in my own personal life that it's at the very low points of life that the devil seems to launch his strongest attacks. Some years ago when I had my rope accident up in Georgia, we had a lot going on during that particular time. The Lord had put me in that particular position to put me at a very low spot, but I had the Lord encouraging me and the devil attacking. It just seemed like the guns of hell were just pounding on us. And I can remember those special times of prayer, just getting alone with God and said, Lord, you've got to help us through this tough time. This is a time where we're being attacked on all sides and so forth. And then the clouds were lifted. And the Lord just brought us through. And it was just like glory. I remember we had a couple of services in which we rejoiced unto the Lord and gave testimony of what God had done during that particular time. But it was a low point physically for me. At that particular time, I had been diagnosed just the year before with diabetes. I was having a hard time fighting off infection, sickness, and then the devil attacks were just daily. I could feel the hammer of the devil, and yet I could also sense the grace of God and the ministry of God's people praying for me at that particular time too. I could sense that. God was good. Oftentimes, at our lowest physical place, or maybe at a very difficult time spiritually, Satan begins to do his work. And he starts aiming his darts at us. And I'm so thankful that the Christian has the shield of faith. We have all the armor that God has provided. And we can face the onslaught of the devil. We can face that at our low points because we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. I enjoy reading about World War II and that conflict, reading about the Greatest Generation, reading about accomplishments that America did during that particular time, and remember reading about how they had come up with the B-24 bomber, the Liberator, as they called it, consolidated B-24 that was faster than the B-17, lighter than the B-17, and had protection. It had armor plating to help it absorb some of the shock from the flak that was thrown up into the air. Dr. Hobbs, our pastor, was a pilot and enjoyed flying that particular aircraft. And it was a considerable accomplishment of that particular time. It had what was known as the Davis airfoil, a very well-designed wing that allowed it to fly higher and faster than previous large aircraft to that particular time. But also, the problem with that particular plane is that it could easily break in half. All it took was a well-placed machine gun run, and the wings would snap and the whole thing would come out of the sky. America made over 6,800, and we lost almost 3,000 of those during World War II because they found the weakness in the particular airplane. You know what your weakness and my weakness is? Is not knowing God's Word well enough. And the devil comes along and he shoots at that weak spot in our life. And what happens? Because we don't have a strong working knowledge of God's Word, you get into trouble real quick. We had a good discussion today at lunchtime. I enjoy theological discussions. We had a very good one today at lunchtime. And I'm sure all the people around us heard us talking about that, so maybe we were a witness as well. But we were talking about how that so many people link their heart to the culture, and it acts as a layer of protection against the Word of God. That layer of culture inside our lives. It kind of allow the water of the Word just kind of rolls off because we've got that layer of culture there. We have to be careful what we allow into our lives. We have to be careful how we think as individuals. Have you ever written down what you think? I would encourage you to do this sometime. Just start writing. Just start writing. I told the men today at lunchtime, I said, I began some years ago things that are misinterpretations of the Bible. Just starting with Genesis and things that have been interpreted wrongly that have been put out as doctrine when it was not right. And my list got rather long and I got discouraged. I got discouraged because so many people are willing to accept doctrines that aren't taught in the Bible. They're just not there. But because somebody said it in the past, that was a recognized individual, we're going to follow that person because that person said it. Is that what the Lord told us to do? Follow after so-and-so because he said something that sounded really good. Is that what the Bible says? No, the Lord said, follow after me. Follow after me. Have you ever heard of secondary sources or hearsay? You know, you get into big trouble. A CNN reporter is feeling the heat right now, if you've been following in the news. She reported that the president was booed at an event that took place, and he wasn't. Had nothing to do with the president. It was a heckler that was in the crowd, and they booed the heckler. But she went out there and on Twitter that the president is being booed. And boy, it was picked up by other news media and so forth like that. It took her four tweets to finally get out of that one. Because she started getting targeted by other reporters that were there and said, it wasn't the president that was being booed, it was a heckler. What are you talking about? So eager to destroy somebody else. So they took something, twisted it, put it out there and hoped it would stick. There's a lot of people that live that way. They'll read something in the Scripture and they'll start it in the mind and they'll start thinking about that and they'll start mulling around, what could that mean? And so they take their meaning and they apply it to the Scripture. Listen, the only way it works is this way, folks. God says it. I hear it. Are you listening to me? God says it. I hear it. If God doesn't say it, and then I go back and say that He said it, I'm the one that's lying. I'm the one that's adding to the Scripture. And by the way, there's a warning about that. We're not to add to the Scriptures, nor are we, as the King James puts it, to diminish aught. I like that phrase. Diminish not just a little bit. You take it full strength. Some people say, well, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. What are you going to sweeten God's Word with? You have to come from the world's perspective, right? To try to sweeten it up a little bit. You have to take it full dose. Can you imagine a cancer patient? I don't want the chemo doses that you have prescribed. I want it at my level. I want to tell you what to produce. Is that going to help? No, it's not going to help. Or people that say, well, you know, if two aspirins is good for you, then six must be great. And they eat the lining of their stomach out and have all kinds of other health problems. Well, if one tablet is good, then two or three would be even better, right? No. You take it in the dose that's prescribed. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. You can't change God's Word and make it more meaningful. You can't add to or take away from God's Word and make it more powerful. When you do that, you've entered into the danger zone. You've entered into God's domain. You've dared to enter into that area and then add to or take away from what God said. So what was Satan doing? He was adding to and diminishing aught from, because he quotes the Scripture too, does he not? And throughout these temptations, he quotes the Scripture, but he does so in a way that either adds to or diminishes from. And so what does the Lord Jesus do? He comes back with the full, authoritative statements of the Word of God. He doesn't change them. He just gives it right to the devil, and the devil has to move on to plan B. Then he has to move on to plan C. And then we read, "Then the devil leaveth him." Amen? Then the devil leaveth him. Why did the devil leave? Because he had been had. You can't win against the Word of God. The Word of God has power. It has authority. Jesus knew the Word and was able to repel the attacks of Satan because he knew how to handle the sword. He knew how to handle the sword. Going back to the World War II videos, they've got videos of training. And they have one on there that's got some hilarious things where young men trying to learn how to use a bayonet in the field. And they've got all these dummies out there, and they show some of them out there. One guy runs into it, bounces off the dummy, hits the ground. Another guy, the bayonet and the whole gun goes all the way through. He had to pull it out on the other side. Now, I guess he would have killed the guy, although it would have been a little difficult probably to get the gun and everything through the individual, right? But he didn't do what he was supposed to do. It was supposed to be a thrust maneuver, pull out, and then advance. Thrust maneuver, pull out, and advance. They were teaching them how to use what? The bayonet. Their gun became a sword. Teaching them the right way to do it. And there were some that didn't do it the right way. And so there was one sergeant that was standing there when that one kid bounced off of the thing. He was down in his face. I mean, he was chewing on him, and that boy got up so quick. And you see him double timing back up to the spot where they had to go back through that course again. He was double time holding that gun, and he was just running, getting up there, and he came back through the second time. He did it right. And then he was able to move on because he did it the right way. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, folks, we've got to do it the right way. Now, you look at these temptations. You see the areas that Satan tried to tempt our Lord, the area of provision. Jesus was hungry, talking about bread. Hey, you can command these stones to turn into bread. Okay? And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not live by bread alone." The miracles are not for personal pleasure. The miracles are not to so I can take care of myself. The miracles have a God purpose. Then he went on to talk about protection, protection. And he said unto him, as our passage said in Matthew chapter 4, where our Lord responded to Satan in this regard, he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then whenever he came back to him, talking about power, "If you'll just bow down to me, Jesus, and worship me," you know what he was wanting? He was wanting the power. He was doing a power play there with Jesus. And the Lord said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan," or "get thee hence" in the Matthew translation. "For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." There's no authority or power play here, Satan. So in these three areas, you see the attacks of Satan. Now, I want to draw some conclusions very quickly here as we come to the end of our message and we go to prayer time. Just a few lessons. Number one, you and I are not Jesus Christ, are we? We're not Jesus Christ. He was the perfect Word. But you know what our privilege is? We have His Word. Amen? This is Jesus Christ written. So what's my responsibility? Get to know it. Get to know it. Spend time in it every day. It shows when you don't. It shows when you don't. You start making assumptions. You start thinking differently. But Jesus Christ was the Word. Jesus Christ was never weak spiritually. We are. He was never weak spiritually. We must remember this aspect. He did not sin. We do. We have a responsibility to walk with the Lord, do we not? Number two, we should never make serious or important decisions when we are tired, hungry, and physically distressed. That's the worst time to make decisions. You know what you need to do? You need to get rested. And you need to have the Lord supply the help that you need so you can make the right decision. Some people make decisions when they're tired, make decisions, poor decisions, when they discipline their children, they get upset and angry and discipline their children. You're not going to do it right. And you're not going to get the results that you could have gotten if you'd have done it right. So what should you do? Dr. Hobbs always said, it's better to wait than it is to act and mess it up. Better to wait. Cool off a little bit. Let your body get rested so you can think clearly about what you need to do and how you need to act in situations. One of the wisest things that I learned early on in ministry was not to respond quickly to people whenever they call you and get upset and they want a decision immediately. Best thing to do is wait a few days. Let some time go by. Think about it. Pray about it. And then get your answers about what you're supposed to do. We live in the age of instantaneous. Everything's instant. I get this all the time. Somebody will send me a text and then, are you there? Are you there? Are you there? It's bzzz, 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 you know, it's a constant vibration. You just yell out, okay, already. All right, I get it, you know. Impatient because they need an instantaneous answer. And a lot of times I have found over the years that a lot of times it's better to just let them go through whatever they're going through and deal with it later. Deal with it, teach them some patience. You know, if you didn't take time to figure out something ahead of time and then all of a sudden something comes on you, sometimes you need to go through the consequences. Go through the consequences of your poor planning. We used to have a sign up down at the print shop that said this, poor planning on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part. Can I say that again? Poor planning on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part. Oh, how we think, well, we've got to have it right now. Well, did you plan it out? Did you think it out? Not usually. We're just in a big hurry to get something done. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to snap to and run it because you didn't plan, you didn't prepare, or whatever. We should never make serious, important decisions when we are tired, hungry, and physically distressed. That's the worst time to do that. Number three, saturate your life with the Word of God so you have a resource in time of weakness. You know, when you study God's Word and you fill your heart and mind, you know what you're doing? You're filling up your storehouse, your resource storehouse. The worst thing in the world is to go to a closet that's supposed to have paper and you don't find any. Or pencils. Or this, that, or the other. And you go up there, oh, no, we don't have this. And then you go into panic mode. You ever done that? Gone to the pantry? I'm going to have this for dinner tonight. And you think that you've got stuff on the shelf and they're not there anymore because you used them up already. And you go in there, or maybe you were going to have a cheesecake. I love those instant cheesecakes, and you make them with Splenda. And boy, they're good. And then you go in there and you find out you don't have any cheesecake stuff in there. And your stomach just goes into automatic rejection. Starts pouting. It follows your lip, you know. I had my heart set on some chocolate pudding not too long ago. And I went up in the cupboard, and there was a whole stack of vanilla. And there wasn't one chocolate. And my stomach, I mean, I had just made chocolate pudding. I was going to make me some of that. And I made me some vanilla, but it sure didn't taste like chocolate. And I tried to satisfy myself. I just said, you know what? I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to get whiny about this. I'm going to have vanilla. So I stirred up the vanilla, you know, and I poured it in the bowl, put it in the refrigerator, let it set, you know, go back in there, and I stuck my spoon in it. And I went and set it on my nightstand beside my bed. And I had my drink right there ready. And I usually will get in my chair or I'll get ready, you know, for bed or something like that. I'm going to have my little snack. And I stared at that vanilla. Boy, I sure had my heart set on chocolate. And so I ate the vanilla, dreaming about what? Chocolate. And every bite tasted like vanilla. Isn't that interesting? No matter what I thought about it, it still tasted like vanilla. My thinking, my wishing, did not change that vanilla into chocolate. Why is it, as Christians, that we spend our time wishing for something and God's given us one thing and we're wishing it was something else? You know what the problem is? We don't have adequate resources because we haven't spent time in God's Word. If you spend time in God's Word, it changes your thinking, how you think about things. Last one. Always, now get this, always lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on your own understanding. I imagine every one of you could quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Okay, that's usually about 90% of people's life verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. It's too bad that it's become trite because it's some of the greatest truth you could ever get a hold of. We spend too much time leaning on our own understanding. Well, I think this about that. Well, is your thinking right with the Word? I don't know. Well, you ought to. If you're thinking it, you should have spent time making sure that your thinking lines up with the Word of God. Trust in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You know, we need to trust in the Lord. And lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. Always lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the things you lean on aren't very sturdy. Somebody backed into one of our poles over here the other day, and I saw it laying over. I walked over to it, and that's the second time it's been backed into and broken. And now it's so short you can't even see it anymore. Keep sticking it back down in the ground. And I thought about all those pieces stuck down in the ground from previous times at the pole. When you tried to dig and put it back in, you're hitting the wood from the last time it was in. Didn't get dug up, didn't get a new pole. We're going to be replacing that. But that pole's weak. It's gotten old sitting in there, and it couldn't take a car backing into it. When that pole was green, you could back into it and just lean to one side. Sometimes you start leaning on old ways of thinking and it gives out. It gives out. It's not trustworthy. Won't stand up. But when you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's always straight and true. Amen? Never bends. Never leans to one side. Never breaks. He's not a reed. He's not a reed. He's the rod. He's the strong one. He's the mighty one. And I want to encourage you on this afterward. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated once and for all how we are to stand up against the devil. You got to know this right here. Do I hear an amen from God's people? You got to know this. Not enough to know about the Bible. You got to know the Bible. And you ought to know the Bible by your own personal study, not just coming to church and that being it. That's not enough. That's like eating MREs. It gets you by, but you're still hungry. Or like when we were growing up, like eating a bowl of rice for breakfast. I've told that story so many times. Dad used to love to eat rice for breakfast. He'd put milk and sugar in there. And one thing about rice, it swells up quick down inside. I imagine those rice, they just like, and they fill up every little bit for about 30 minutes. And then your stomach just starts growling and you're hungry and I'm not going to make it to lunchtime. Why? Because you don't have what you need. It's like cotton candy, same thing. All that sugar and sweet, it's good. And then 30 minutes later, you're starving to death. You got to have something that's substance, and that comes from the Word of God. The afterword of testing, Jesus faced because He was the Word. And you can face it too if you know the Word.